Translation. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, etc., cannot possibly be perceived by the gross materialistic senses. But when the senses are purified by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet of the holy deity, etc., the Lord reveals himself proportionately to the advancement of the quality of devotional service. One should not expect the Lord to be an order-supplying agent who must be present before us as soon as we desire to see him. We must be ready to undergo the prescribed devotional duties, following the path shown by the predecessors in the disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, and similar authorities. As the senses are progressively purified by bona fide devotional service, the Lord reveals his identity according to the spiritual advancement of the devotee. But one who is not in the line of devotional service can hardly perceive him simply by calculations and philosophical speculations. Such a hard worker can present a jugglery of words before an audience, but can never know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal feature. The Lord has clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one can know him only by devotional service. No one can know the Lord by any puffed-up material process of challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional activities. Thus the Lord reveals himself proportionately before the devotee. Lord Brahma therefore offers his respectful obeisances as a bona fide spiritual master and advises us to follow the process of Shravana and Kirtana. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnation, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. We have already discussed this subject in Volume 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with this verse. Tat Shraddhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pasanchatmani Chatmanam Bhakti Shruta Krihitaya. That's Bhagavatam 1.2.12. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but he can be seen and felt partially by the devotional service process of hearing, chanting, etc. Yasya vatara karmani kayanti yasmatadaya na yang vidanta tatvina tasmai bhagavate namaha. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted by us for glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. Om Gyanam Simrandasyah Gyanandana Salakya Jyakshu Miltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tigrim Yat Kripa Tadahang Vande Sri Gurum Dina Tainam Nama Ong Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Sri Mata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prachayani Nirvisheshu Shunyavari Pastyachari Satayani Vancha Kalpa Charupyas Cha Kripa Sindubya Eva Cha Patitnam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I don't have a, or do I? I have a watch here. I can see when we're supposed to stop at something.
What? Nine.
Yeah. Or a little before nine, probably. So, mm-hmm. Okay. So, it is said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's quoted, it's in verse from somewhere in the Vedas, Ataksi Krishna, Namadi Nabhavet Graham Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijiva Dao Svayam Eva Sporatyadya. Prabhupada quotes this verse a lot. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, it's quoted many times, that one cannot understand or realize the nature, the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the personality of Godhead with these gross material senses. But if the sense, if one engages in the process of devotional service, beginning with the tongue of chanting the holy name, then the name, qualities, form, nature, the personality of Godhead will become revealed. And it's a very important verse, because Prabhupada, you know, he quotes it again and again and again. We have to understand that, that we cannot being academic intellectuals, there's no way we can understand Krishna. It's we have to enter into a relation, an active relationship with Krishna, where we are actually reaching out to him by serving, serving, which means starts with hearing and chanting and remembering and doing practical service and worshipping and praying and so on. And then when we kind of step forward, Krishna, he's there and he is reciprocating. One has to strive to enter this dynamic relationship with Krishna in order to also understand him. The scholar's approach is the problem that he wants to remain inactive. He simply wants to observe and then expect to understand. This is called, they have this idea of objective understanding. Mm-hmm. This word objective, mm-hmm. You just objectively observe something. But that doesn't work with Krishna. Krishna does not agree to just be objectively observed. Because that works in any case. That's always the case when you're dealing with persons. Like for example, I don't know you. I've never seen you before. So how can I get to know you? Well, actually, we have to enter some kind of relationship, some kind of exchange. If I simply sit there, with a stone face and just look at you like that, how can I get anything to know about, actually the real persons you are? So one has to enter a relationship. And actually, entering relationship, that generally means service. That's also when we talk about devotees and like that. Because also we want to have relationship with devotees. How do we do that? We actually serve together. We get together, we serve. And then by serving together, depending on each other and like that, then actually we also get to know each other, and we actually develop deep relationships. I think I have some nice relationships to some devotees, nice devotees, very close relationships, because we went through some service and even some difficult times together. And going through difficult, trying situations together. Of course, one would think, I don't want to go through difficult times. We'd rather have an easy life. But actually, it's a great blessing when one goes through difficult situation with other devotees, because that brings devotees together, and you enter a close relationship with someone that you would never be able to have. You would never be able to have such a deep relationship and deep understanding of that person if you have not gone through some trying circumstance. For example, it's soldiers who go into one war and fighting together. They develop friendships on a level that they will never ever experience again when they come back, and it's peace and like that. Their relationship, they will feel as personal relationship, they are superficial compared to the relationship I had to my comrades, the other soldier when we were, you know, alone there, we were fighting in the, you know, we were down in the, you know, in, with, you know, we were there fighting with, you know, back against back. We were, you know, I was, and we were saving the lives of each other and so on and so on. Afterwards, it's, I mean, you never get it personal, such close to a person after that. So that's why you might want, we might sometimes wonder, why did Krishna arrange, I mean, of course, he had many reasons why he arranged the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, he wanted to, you know, eradicate all the unnecessary military forces on the planet. He wanted to, again, establish religious principles, just, you know, get rid of the Kauravas and have Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers, who were, you know, great devotees, established and ruling the world and so on. So that's, you know, he has many purposes. You cannot just pin down Krishna has or not only one purpose when he acts. That's one of his, Nectar Devotion says, it's a symptom of someone who is very clever. He can, by one activity, he accomplishes many things at the same time. That's being very clever. So Krishna, he's very, very clever. So when he does one thing, many things are accomplished. But also, one thing that actually Krishna, he really wanted, he wanted to have a deep relationship with Arjuna. I mean, they already have a deep relationship, obviously. They are eternal friends. It's Nara and Narayan. And they were, I mean, they had spent many days and weeks and months and years together before the battle of Kurukshetra had started, and they had, you know, had such a good time together and were very close as friends. But still, Krishna, he arranged that they were on, you know, that they were on the battlefield together in the same chariot. He was driving Arjuna's chariot. Arjuna was there fighting, and they were, you know, protecting each other, seemingly. Of course, Krishna does not need anyone's protection, but for the sake of the Leela, then he also even appears that he has to be protected. Arjuna, he had to sometimes fight off other soldiers who were trying to shoot arrows at Krishna, and of course, and Krishna, he was, you know, was happily following the orders of driving his chariot. It was a fantastic partnership. I mean, Arjuna, he was the best archer and warrior, and actually Krishna, I think, was it along with Shalya, they were the best chariot drivers. Isn't it? They were Krishna and Shalya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all these personalities you find in the Mahabharata, and they have their specialties. Like Arjuna is a great archer, mm-hmm. and Bhima, he's a great club fighter, and so on. So amongst chariot drivers, it was known that Krishna and Shalya is actually, as far as I know, he's the brother of Madri.
I know.
Madri is a co-wife of Pandu, I think. Shalya was from the province of Madras. I think they were brother related to Madri. Anyway, so these two were the greatest, controlling horses like that. Nobody can control horses like Krishna because he's a coward boy. Of course, that's cows, but he's dealing with he's used to dealing with horses also. So. So they were on that battlefield for 18 days. They were going through. We cannot imagine what they were going through. And so the purpose, Krishna's purpose, was actually to also to get so, you know, into such a deep relationship with Krishna that you cannot do in any other way except through actually going through a war. That's, you know, Krishna, he has his, you know, deep personal purposes whenever he acts. That is discussed very much in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Lord Chaitanya. He came to spread love of Godhead, spread the chanting of the holy name all over the world. But Krishna's Kaviraj explained, this was only his external purpose. His internal purposes were also different. That was for his personal reasons. He wanted to experience actually the happiness of a devotee. You know there are three causes. Three, why Lord Chaitanya he came personally, you know, is discussed in one chapter. You know. So Krishna similarly, he has these personal reasons why he performs his pastime. So with the battle of Kurukshetra, but he wanted to be on the chariot with Arjuna to develop, really to develop a personal relationship and also understand the person Arjuna. And Arjuna, of course, will reciprocally get such a deep realization with Krishna that, you know, we cannot imagine how close they became after that. So this is the whole process of devotional service. To understand Krishna, we have to enter a dynamic relationship with Krishna. Not just be passive and not just read a book. Well, reading a book is also active, actually. It's hearing. So one has to enter this dynamic relationship through service. Otherwise, there will be no realization of Krishna. But if one remains in this active relationship, then Krishna will always be present. That's a great challenge. It's a great opportunity we have as devotees to remain absorbed in devotional service and remain for life absorbed in devotional service. Not just when we are youthful and new to devotional service, then we're enthusiastic and inspired, but then after some time, then we become, now I've done, and we become satisfied, just look what I have done already, and I preach so much, I distribute books, and now I should rest. And
deserve.
Yeah, now I deserve to rest, and others, they should serve me, and I should have a more easy life, and like that. One can do that. Krishna is not stopping us. But as soon as we kind of want to have a little easier life in devotional service, then Krishna again kind of little fades away. He becomes a little more distant. One has to always be in this this constant absorption in devotional service. Devotional service is never a matter of, again looking back, I've done this, I've done that. That actually, it doesn't matter what we've done. The only thing that matters is actually what are we willing to do right now. And when we are willing to have, according to our degree of surrender right now, Krishna will be there. Krishna, he will be present here now when we surrender fully now, and when we're not willing to fully surrender, then again, he will be a little withdrawn. And of course, that is our situation as coming from a conditioned background. I don't know about you. I come from a conditioned background.
No, we're not.
You're not. So that I'm happy. So then, of course, we have to, get purified and come to a level where actually we can surrender fully. And until we come to that, then sometimes we'll have more realization of Krishna, sometimes less, sometimes you'll experience that Krishna is very much present, sometimes you'll experience it is more distant. But our duty and our challenge is to simply be absorbed in devotional service actively, constantly, for our whole life, every moment. That is a process. This is, it's been emphasized again and again and again. That Bhaktya Mama Vidyanati, this famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, only through bhakti can you know me. And Prabhupada is always very emphatic. Bhakti is not translated as devotion or love or something like other translators, they would translate bhakti. Prabhupada translates devotional service. That means you have to be active because the soul has. That is the whole, that's the secret. And that's, of course, also why ultimately it can be a rare thing. because we want to generally condition souls, like to maintain their independence, and I also want to, you know, I have my interest, I want to, you know, I want to do my thing, and so on, be independent, but that's, one has to give that up. Actually, one has to not want anything for oneself, but everything for Krishna and for the Vaishnavas. And then one will get everything. But if we maintain certain independence, I want to also do my thing, you know, at any level, then again, one will not experience that. One will experience less of Krishna. Prabhupada emphasized this has to be active service, devotional service. You know, bhakti means devotional service. And therefore, I mean, the trick is to be eager for service. So, like, I mean, I said, you come here and you assume responsibility, for example, for a place like that. That's, I mean, it's courageous. And it's, I mean, it's in it's actually, you know, this is actually how one realizes Krishna. One steps forward, one voluntarily agrees to take devotional service, one takes responsibility in Krishna's service, in the service of Krishna's representative. We're always serving Krishna through his representative, through Srila Prabhupada, and through, the devotees who are serving Srila Prabhupada. And when we step forward and we accept service, then, you know, then realization of Krishna will be there. And of course, we should understand the relationship to Krishna is always the goal of what we are doing. It's not, I mean, we're not performing service for any other purpose except to establish our relationship to Krishna. And service is the opportunity that is given for us to establish a relationship. Sometimes we can also get diverted. We think that, you know, the purpose of service is we want to get recognition, or we want to get some monetary gain or comfort, or, you know, there's so many, you know, side benefits from devotional service, and one can get, you know, sidetracked by that also. That's one of the, you know, because Maya has many allurements. There will be, and she will offer us something less, you know. And devotional service, you know, when we active and we do things in devotional service, then naturally there will be many side results. One can, you know, one becomes expert in one service. One becomes generally recognized, even if one does something in devotional service, by then okay, others, they will recognize you, and one will become, oh, say, you're such a nice devotee, and you have you know, and you've, you know, made such a difference, and others might even start worshipping one, and oh, you're so learned, and can you, you know, please instruct me. And so many side benefits will come there, side effects. And I mean, in one sense, it's unnatural if they're not there. Naturally, when there's an endeavor, when there's activity, there's also some you know, naturally some results. But one should not be deviated by those results, and that one should be always have the focus in mind. The whole purpose is simply to establish my relationship with Krishna. Nothing else. All other things are of less importance, and they come and go. All other things, they come and they go. It's yeah. I mean, devotional service is it's a challenge for life, and the goal has to be. I mean, it's. We're very goal-oriented in devotional service. Krishna, he says that in Bhagavad Gita, he talks about Yavisa Yatnika Buddhya Ekaha Kuranandana Bahu Shakya Nandastha Buddha Yoga Visayanam. It's like that. So it says those who on this path, they are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. That's, you know, that's actually devotional service. So the aim is one, and what is that one goal? Well, that is to again revive my love for Krishna, my relationship with Krishna. That is the one goal, and that should be no other goals. If there are other goals, then one's intelligence will be scattered. One will be deviated. One will again, you know, somehow or another get stuck in this material world. Of course, devotional service is never, it's never lost, whatever one does. And one will pick up again if one sincerely has engaged in devotional service. At one point, one will again pick up. But why wait? The point is, why wait? We probably already, you know, we probably made that mistake once already. So, you know, often it's at least probably writes that anyone who gets into, you know, is practicing devotional service must have some previous contact with it in a previous lifetime. Of course, it is also possible that we did not have any contact just by the mercy of the pure devotee. We didn't get in contact, but maybe also it was in some previous lifetime we were practicing devotional service, and then sometimes one might, at least I remember when I just was new and someone said that you must have had some contact with devotional service, and I became proud. Oh, I'm special. I had some, you know, I'm a devotee from previous lifetime. But actually, one should be proud of that. One should be ashamed of that. Because that means I failed. I wasn't sincere. It's completely hypothetical. I might be. Actually, I don't think I had any contact. I think I was a ghost in my previous life or something like that. Judging from my actions before I got in touch with the devotees, but that's another point. But even like, you know, even if hypothetically I was engaged in devotional service in a previous lifetime, I'm not sure I was not sincere enough, and I was not intelligent enough, and I wasted that golden opportunity I had at that time for something less. That should be the determination. That should not happen again. Why should we spend more time than necessary in this material world? It's not it's not in anybody's interest. It's not in my interest. There's no enjoyment in this material world. Krishna does not want any of us to stay here more than necessary. And it's also, you know, even for the sake of preaching, well, the best example is to be very determined to go back to Godhead. Others will see, oh, here's someone who's very determined. I want to be determined like that also. You know, there's no reason why we should delay our stay in this material world here at all. We should be sincere and want to go back to Godhead as quick as possible. That's what Prabhupada also said, you know, this lifetime. Not more lifetimes. And we can, the point is, we can go back to Godhead within this lifetime. It's not predetermined. Don't go to, like, an astrologer who say that, oh, you need 5 more lifetimes, something like that. He doesn't know. Prabhupada says we can go back to Godhead, back in one, you know, within one lifetime, if we, you know, simply completely devote ourselves to following the process of devotional service and dedicate our activities to the mission of this Krishna consciousness movement, you know, then it's guaranteed. Prabhupada guarantees we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada can give that guarantee. He might even have lowered the bar a little for us who are not so qualified. You know, it's not that Lord Chaitanya, he wouldn't accept anyone who did not chant 100,000 names a day. You know this, he said, there's a... Maybe I think it was a general thing. Lord Chaitanya said, I will not accept invitations from anyone who's not a, what's called, Lakshapati, was it something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, someone who's not possessing 100,000. And then the devotee was saying, 100,000? I mean, 100,000 what? Gold coins? I don't have it. I'm just a poor man. I don't have 100,000 gold coins. And then the Dhatani specified, no. Someone means 100, who is a one who owns 100,000 is one who chants 100,000 names a day. That's something like 64 rounds. So Prabhupada couldn't stand, we cannot do that. So he kind of lowered the bar. He said 16 rounds per day, four regulated principles, and then just fully dedicate yourself to serving the mission of Krishna consciousness. Then I'll take you back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada gives that guarantee. So that's a, you know, it's a great opportunity that is being given there. And so why have any other goal than that? It's, I mean, there's really nothing to in this world that is worth obtaining. Such, I mean, first of all, it's just flickering, especially in the modern age. What is there? You know, it's just modern life is misery. And we have got such an golden opportunity. So that should be, we should never think that whatever we are getting in devotional service, it's simply a blessing, it's not a curse. It is, and it's all for our benefit. You know, whatever service we are, sometimes we're even overloaded with service, but it's just, that is Krishna's special blessing. And as long as we think like that, then we're on the safe path. If we start, you know, some Maya will trick us and the mind will start, objecting to devotional service like that. That's dangerous when the mind starts thinking, you know, why me, why not someone else? You know, that's the kind of material thing. Why should I do that? Why can't someone else do it? And then that's, we don't understand what it is that we've been given. It's for our benefit that service is there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told, a simple story. Little funny story about a boy who was the son of a very rich man, like Samanda or something like that. And this boy, he was very spoiled, and he was very lazy, and he didn't want to study or learn anything. So his father, he hired a teacher, 15 rupees per month. And plus it was 15 rupees a month, and then also 15 rupees just for his maintenance and like that. So he was getting like 30 rupees a month. So then the teacher, he was to meant to teach his boy, and he would give him all kinds of, he would have him learn mathematics, and he would have him count and make calculations and like that. And the boy, he was protesting like anything, but the teacher, he was strict, and he was saying, no, you have to make these calculations and like that. And then one day someone heard the boy complaining about this teacher, that he says, you know, this teacher is so useless, you know, my father is giving him 15 rupees per month, and still he wants me to make all the calculations. He could do it himself, and he's been paid. For, you know, so why should he be paid anything when he wants me to make all these calculations all the time? He should do it himself. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told that story, that the boy there did not understand. It was not for the sake of the teacher that these calculations had to be made, because he needed to. So it's funny. Anyway, simple story. But the point was clear, that when the guru gives service to a disciple, it's not for the sake of the guru. It's the disciple, simply for the sake of the disciple. That's his, you know, that's his access to his relationship with Krishna. That should be seen, that when the service we're getting, this is actually our connection to Krishna. Nothing less than that. And if one can keep that mood all the time, then devotional life will be happy and simple. always one sees Krishna in what it, you know, whatever service one has. Well, this is how I establish my relationship to Krishna, and then one also does it for pleasing Krishna. That's also what devotional service is always done with that extra, you know, extra care, not just something that has to be done, but with that extra care for pleasing Krishna. Not just some service. Devotional service is not just done mediocrely or just good enough so nobody they will complain about it. Devotional service means to do it, you know, perfectly, and then little extra for Krishna's pleasure. Always, you know, always to the utmost perfection and attention to all details and so on. And the more one can do that, the more one will also be fully Krishna conscious all the time. Anyway, I'm saying something. You have something to say also.
Question.
Question.
Okay. Wonderful. Ask question. Krishna have five kinds of relationship, spiritual, like Shankar, Dasya, Sakya, Acharya, Madhuri. And Prabhupada wrote in the commentaries that we should, first of all, we should develop this Shantarasa. First, we practice in like, because you was talking about active, dynamic devotional service. This is kind of, maybe you can explain a little bit more about this Shanta.
No, it's not said we should, first we should be in Shanta like that. We should, I mean, we are engaged in active devotional service from the very beginning. The first contact is generally hearing, if it's not taking prasadam. But there's always active activity there. Of course, we have the Shanta relationship in one sense. Shanta is the quality of Shanta Ras is there in all relationships. Just like you have in if you talk about the material elements, you know, there is first there is ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And ether has only one characteristic sound. Air has two characteristics, sound and touch, you know, like that. So the quality of ether sound, or the characteristic of ether sound, is there, goes through in all elements, you know, both ether, air, fire, water, and earth. They have sounds, and each element has one more. So the quality of Shantaras is there in all rasas. Quality of Shantaras is how is it, detachment from all material attraction, and is it appreciation of Krishna's greatness? Is it like that? That's kind of the qualities of Shantaras. So that's there always in all the other rasas. But it's not that we practice on the level of Shantaras, then after a while we start practicing on the level of Dasyaras, then we start practicing on the level of Sakyaras. It's not like that. We start practicing active service to the Guru. We follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, under the instruction of the Guru, and that will purify us. We'll go through the anatta nirvijja state, our anattas, they will be purified away gradually, and we'll come to the state of nista, firm faith. And from nista, then, of course, then starts becoming not automatic, because one still consciously has to engage in devotional service, but one becomes very fixed. From that, of course, that's what nista means. One is very fixed. Then there is ruchi. There's a deep taste in devotional service. Then there is Is that a shakta? Bhava? A shakta? No. That's a very deep attachment. And then bhava emotion starts coming, and then of course prema is there ultimately. And but as one goes through the process of devotional service, also at one point one's actual relationship with Krishna will become revealed. What your actual nature is, what your actual rasa is, they'll come automatically. Which is also, Prabhupada also makes that as an important point. We should not speculate or even worry about what is our real rasa with Krishna. That is not. One should simply engage in devotional service, and then through that it one's relationship will be revealed automatically. Probably even in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes that point. It will all be revealed if one simply follows the process of devotional service. We're not what is it called? There's some Sahajya groups where who have the idea that the guru, he reveals your rasa at the beginning, at initiation. He will tell you, you are such and such in Krishna's rasa. What is that called?
Sahajya.
Sahajyas, but this. That
specific term?
Yeah, as used in other time, I'm looking. Anyway, it's where the guru, he reveals some of your eternal identity.
Siti Deha.
Something with Siti Deha. Siti Pranali. Siti Pranali. That's what.
The same. Well, like Siti Deha, Siti Pranali is like spiritual form.
Yeah. And so the guru, he does not reveal like that. It's not like. Like my name is Lalitanath Das. So then I might think, well, that means I must have some special, maybe I'm one of the sakis, serving under Lalita or something like that. Nothing to do with that, it's just a name. There's nothing about my eternal nature revealed at the time of initiation, also not in the name. Sometimes I hear devotees think that, or even say that, I got such a name, that must be because I'm an associate of Lord Chaitanya. No, that's Sahajism. That is Sahajism. So we do not. You ask about it first. We should cultivate. We don't cultivate Shantara. We simply engage in devotional service, and then at one point our relationship will be revealed. One point. What point? I have no idea. Okay. Something you want to add something? You have many realizations.
No.
I'm sure you have. Amoga. Some further thing you want to add?
I couldn't hear anything the last 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh. Should we stop now?
I think
it's 9 o'clock.
Yes. Yes. 9 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you
very much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki.
Krishna, Krishna, Puja, Krishna, 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 Krishna,